Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Live from Auckland, New Zealand.
And live from New York, New York.
Whoa, I'm surprised how
America.
I'm surprised how well that went. It's time for advanced analytics.
If you don't like that, you don't like NBA basketball.
Just before we start, I've just got to bring up the rugby. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
All Blacks got hammered by England in the final. Like, dominated,
semi-final.
Wouldn't you say? Oh, semi-final,
yeah, dominated.
Whatever.
I woke up at 4 a.m. and went to an Irish bar, which I'd gone to the week before, and had been like predominantly Irish, but also a lot of Kiwis. And this week it was very much exclusively British people.
Yeah, you stuffed up.
Yeah, it was horrible listening to them.
So for people who don't know rugby, the All Blacks have dominated for almost 10 years. Since the 2011 Rugby World Cup, where they went unbeaten and won for the first time in 20 years. And then until the 2015 World Cup, they never lost a game, and they hadn't lost a game up until the semi-final. They'd won back-to-back World Cups, which had never been done before. And then all of a sudden, they just went crashing out as England was just way too good.
Yeah.
I've never taken a sports loss that badly before, I don't think. I really took it bad.
Really?
I really hate England and their like preppy private schoolboy vibe, which is basically what they are, because England is rugby is a rich person's game in England, as far as I can tell. And yeah, just for some reason, really liked this All Blacks team, I think. So I was really just like, normally they're quite a douchey team, but this year I thought they were a likable bunch of lads, and really sad about it.
Yeah, right. I mean, they got truly hammered.
What was the worst? What was the worst you've ever taken a sporting game? Like, what's the worst loss you've ever taken? Not including playing, obviously.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Magic losing the finals?
Yeah. I don't really remember back to then that well. I was pretty young.
And looking back on this, I was probably on the wrong side of history, but I really hated when the Cavs beat the Warriors, just because I was rooting.
Yeah,
I liked that Warriors team and was rooting against LeBron James strongly at the time, even though really he was the underdog and probably should have been rooting for him. And I would have been extra gutted if I'd known what that loss meant for the history of basketball, where it meant that Kevin Durant went to Golden State and we had those awful seasons of the Warriors dominating. But no more, because the Warriors are off to a terrible start and the NBA is off to a strange start. What's your biggest takeaway from the first week?
Well, it's still just so hard to know anything, right? I think. Yeah, like...
Well, what's your biggest, like, what's your most interesting story then?
Most interesting story was Robin Lopez's story.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Robin Lopez purchased some Disney World costume.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean? I'm explaining it. Calm down. Robin Lopez bought some. he bought about, I think, 30 grand worth of. I've got the facts here somewhere. He bought like 30 grand. Him and his friend Brett bought 30 grand worth of a costume from Epcot in Disney World, and it turned out to be stolen.
Okay, so just to rewind two steps. So Robin Lopez, the NBA player, I think he now plays on the Bucks.
Yes.
He was at Epcot at the time, or he was just online?
Online. Him and his friend Brett, who's an accountant, I think they paid about $30,000 for the costume of Buzzy from The Wonders of Life, an Epcot attraction.
Oh, so they
in 2007.
They thought they were buying like Disney memorabilia.
No, they were. They bought the costume of Buzzy, but it was stolen. And
for
the first question,
$30,000.
It's very rare. And
yeah, but
Robin
like,
asked, the first thing he asked was, is it stolen? And Patrick Spikes, the guy who they think has done it, was like, who, him and his cousin, Blayton Taunton, not a real name, they assured them it was real, and they paid for it. Now, Patrick Spikes, he had a Twitter account called Backdoor Disney, which was still going, and it posts just like photos of behind the scenes at Disney World. Don't look at it because it's like, you know, you don't want to see behind the curtain. But yeah, pretty crazy. So they've stolen, well, one article I read said they stole 14,000 worth, another one said 500,000, but I was like, if they've sold it for 30,000, then they didn't steal 14,000 worth, I reckon.
No, well, like, it could be different, like, they maybe didn't know that it was, you know, how much would you assume that costume was worth? Like, I'd say 3,000. It's amazing that there's an NBA 7-footer out there who's in the market for some obscure Disney costumes and is willing to pay that crazy. The whole thing, bizarre.
The Lopez brothers love Disney parks.
No, I understand that. It's just still quite an unusual. Like, if it was a Mickey Mouse costume, maybe, or a Tinkercot, like a more beloved character, but just. This Buzzy Bee. I'm into Disney as well, and I've never heard of this.
No, it's not Buzzy Bee. His name's Buzzy. Maybe he is a bee.
What were the name of the guys who... For a start, Backdoor Disney, just the word backdoor is not a good word to use. Second of all, what were their names again? Spike...
Patrick Spikes and Blayton Taunton.
They have made both of those names up, eh?
Yes. Blayton is blatantly...
Both of them you can imagine wearing Oakley wraparound sunglasses. G'day, my name's Patrick Spikes.
I saw a video of Patrick Spikes in his interrogation, and the police guys are like, okay, we're going to have to take your phone. They reach across to get it, and he... Oh, yeah, because they're like, these photos of the stolen goods were taken, like, on your phone or whatever. They were like, this is your car, and this is your leg in the photo. And they were like, we're going to need to look at your phone. They reach across to get it, and he snatches it real quick. And then, like, a fight breaks out where they have to wrestle him to the ground and wrestle the phone out of his hands.
It doesn't seem suspicious at all.
No, they're going to say that. They're like, this seems suspicious. And he's like, I just don't want you taking my phone.
Where was Robin Lopez buying counterfeit, or no, sorry,
that's
real, but stolen?
I was like, no, because I love Disney, and I was like, man, I got to get on eBay and get some of this, like, exclusive Disney World gear.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paul, for bringing that truly bizarre story to the table. I hadn't even heard of that. I wanted to start with by saying how weird, how strange it was doing a predictions pod. Like, we literally did it like on the day or just hours before the season actually started. Do you have any predictions that you made in that last podcast that you regret instantly?
Well, after the first two games, my prediction of the Warriors winning it all looked really bad.
Yeah.
And my prediction of the Pacers being good and being a top three seed also looks really bad.
You can't say anything yet, because, I mean, the Warriors could still bounce back and the Pacers can still get it together. And they haven't looked that bad. I guess Warriors fans should be very worried.
Yeah, I think they'll come right.
They've got no players. And also, D'Angelo Russell is going to be the worst contract of the year.
My predictions were, again, all based on a system. We're all based on my numbers system.
We all know about your numbers system.
But,
it's legendary.
What it didn't see is how bad all the young guys are.
Yeah.
Because they are... can't play any defense is the issue.
Yeah, they're terrible at D, and they've signed D'Angelo Russell to a max contract who can't play basketball.
Oh, D'Angelo Russell's good. I don't think he is. I think they can trade him.
Well, so far he is the issue, but the problem is that it's not a system that suits him as well. Like, he's a, you know, kind of a like traditional pick and roll style player. and they'll need to change the way they play to kind of suit him, which is seems bad.
No, I think they'll be fine. Just they need the young guys just to get better really quickly. But
it's a pretty big if.
But they, what was I going to say? Oh, when I was watching their first game against the Clippers, with like a minute left, I was like, or like a couple minutes left, I was like, the defense hasn't actually been that bad because they've only allowed like, you know, it was like 110 points or something. And I was like, that's not actually that many points to allow. And then I realized it was the third quarter. And I was like, holy moly, the game's not over. We're not even three quarters of the way through.
Yeah.
Their defense is horrible. And like the Clippers went on to like, you know, they obviously benched their players and still scored like 140 or something.
Well, I probably had a lot of things that I regretted saying, but my biggest one that pops into my mind like halfway through the first game of the first day was Trae Young does actually look quite good, and I regret on crapping on him. And maybe my claims that he's not a good three-point shooter were based on the fact that he didn't shoot that well for half a season last year. So,
oh, his second half result, of the season was great.
Yeah, but maybe I was basing my analysis, my in-depth analysis on a season total half. That may have been lower based on the first half being so bad. But boy, is he come out firing. And I think it's hard to, like you said, it is hard in the first week to make any sort of judgment, but Trae Young looks good so far.
Well, yeah, and I said that he really passed the eye test in person at that preseason game. Like, he really just seemed elite. But other prediction, and it's been bad for my fantasy team, man, Mike Conley is like the worst player in the NBA right now for the Jazz.
Yeah.
And as someone who has, you know, he's like my second franchise player on my fantasy team. He shot 6%, I think, in his first game. Six. How do you even get a single... I've never even heard of a single-digit shooting percentage.
He can still come right.
Of course he can.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to stay the third worst. I'm not trading him.
He might. You'd definitely be selling. You'd be selling low. But there's a lot of players who, when you switch teams, they can just never get it back. And like they go from being a franchise player... Darren Williams.
It took me back to my days of being a rugby player where I played for one of the worst teams. We were always one of the worst two teams, but I was a little bit like the star player on the bad team.
Yeah.
You know, first five, I played for rep teams, and then eventually our team broke up when I was about 12, and I shifted to one of the best teams, Stoke. And it wasn't just the fact that
legendary
I was like
Stoke team, legendary.
Legendary Stoke team. I just got instantly, was just like not good anymore. I just wasn't a star anymore. It was crazy.
Yeah. So you can relate to Mike Conley on many levels.
Yeah. Also, going back to rugby briefly, that rugby, the British team, that you're saying like how you don't like them because they all feel like rich private school boys, or in England as they're called, public schools, weirdly, their kind of star player, that guy Owen Farrell.
Yeah.
I looked him up because I was wondering, I bet he went to like Eton or something.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of didn't, but what he did do, which was noteworthy, was his dad was a rugby player who played for England as well.
Yeah.
And had him when he was about 17. Which meant they played professional rugby for the same team. Is that not crazy?
That is bizarre.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that since... who was that legendary first five for the Tasman Marco back in... Oh, shout out to Tasman Marco for winning the championship. Although, F him for blocking me on Twitter. Fins down. What was the name of their first five? Marty Banks?
Marty Banks,
he played a game for West Coast Buller with his... he played a game on the field, like a rep game when he was 14, with his three older brothers and his dad.
Amazing.
He was 14, and his dad was 50.
That's awesome.
How good's the West Coast of New Zealand, eh? Like, imagine playing rugby when you're 50. It's unbelievable. But I guess
what's also noteworthy about Owen Farrell and his dad playing, I think it was for the club Saracens in England.
Yeah.
Their coach at the time was Eddie Jones, who is now the coach
of England.
And he also coached South Africa to the World Cup.
Who are you rooting for in the final, England or South Africa?
Well, South Africa for sure, but I don't think they're going to win.
Well, based on the semi-final, they won't, but like the way these games seem to... like I don't know if you watched South Africa versus Wales, but it was the worst game of sport I've ever watched in my life. If you don't have a rooting interest in rugby, it can be a very poor spectacle to witness. And like NFL, I think NFL is the same. Like NFL is 100% based on having a vested interest, whether it be through a fantasy team or a team you support. And if you're just watching a game, of which I went to a game recently, I saw the Minnesota Vikings play the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. And it's just, I love the atmosphere. The stadium is like the best stadium I've ever been to. The crowd is unbelievable. The hype is fantastic. The band outside of Bogans playing Lady Gaga songs is amazing. But then just the actual, when you're actually just watching the players play football, it's so tedious and boring and literally nothing good happens. And I put rugby in the same category.
I would say a lot of sports are like that in terms of like, you know, watching cricket I don't think would be great if you're not supporting a team, or baseball. But I'll tell you one sport which I think you can watch with no interest and still enjoy, because it's just a beautiful sport to watch.
Basketball.
And great highlights. Basketball, which is what the podcast about. No, I was just bringing it back in a nice way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I really like the sport of basketball.
I didn't mean to step on your punchline there. Shout out to Basel player Carl Anthony Towns.
For what, his Joker video?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. I was going to say for his play on the court, but I want to hear more about his Joker video. What is that?
Oh, he just... I don't know where he posted it. I just saw it on, like, Twitter or something. And it was just him. Someone was like, Carl Anthony Towns is really getting into Halloween. And he'd, like, dressed as the Joker, but he had a walking cane for some reason. And it was more Heath Ledger's Joker rather than Joaquin or Jared Leto or Nicholas... What's his name?
Who do you think the best Joker was? I reckon Jared Leto.
Yeah, Leto. Man.
Suicide Squad was a great film.
He's so twisted. He was the most twisted of the Jokers.
And remember how the stories were like he was doing all these pranks on the staff, like, and the people he worked with,
it's like, no
like
wonder
behind
that
the scenes.
Film turned out how it did. Like, horrible working conditions, because like Jared Leto was like putting dead rats in your like bag and stuff.
was Carl Anthony Towns, was it cringeworthy, him doing the Joker?
No, I thought it was kind of lovable. I thought it was kind of lovable because it's like he'd actually like edited it and put music behind it, and I didn't really know what it was for.
Do you reckon he did it, or do you reckon his friends did it?
I don't know.
Because it seems quite weird that like a big time basketball celebrity would be spending like hours sitting down cutting this thing, but who knows? Maybe he did.
I think he's kind of a nerdy guy.
Speak for yourself.
I am. I do.
Carl Anthony Towns has had an amazing start to the season so far. I mean, if the Wolves can be in playoff contention, he could have to be an early MVP candidate. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Probably.
It's too early to say, though, eh? Like, who else? Trae Young started amazing, but I still love hating on him. There's just a few players I'm just prejudiced against, and Trae Young's definitely one of them. It'll be hard for him to maintain this elite level, but he could still be an all-star. Speaking of all-stars, speaking of MVP candidates, what the heck is James Harden up to?
What's happening with him? I don't really know.
Oh, he just can't...
He's bad?
He can't shoot. At all. He started like shooting like a worse percentage than Russell Westbrook, which is completely the opposite of what anyone was expecting. But he still somehow has a decent true shooting percentage because he shoots so many goddamn free throws. And everyone on the internet just hates him more than anything.
No, but everyone on the internet I saw was like, despite shooting this, his trooper shooting is somehow still this. And it's like, what do you mean? It's clearly the free throws. He shot like 20 free throws.
It was very satisfying when he slammed the ball in anger and it hit him back in the face.
Very funny.
Similar to seeing Trump getting booed at a baseball game. Anyway, the point is that the Rockets are going to be a contender this year. It looks like it. Like, you know, if he starts making shots like you expect him to, then the Rockets will be really good. Westbrook has started solid, and I wish he would get... I kind of wish bad luck on him. I don't want to wish an injury, but I don't know. I just kind of want Harden out of the picture, because I know preseason I said I was rooting for him and Westbrook now, but I just can't get behind Harden. He's a bad person, and he's got a trash can rules. For a heart.
I think they should put in a James Harden rule, which is like certain players can only shoot a certain amount of free throws, and once they get to their limit, the other team gets to choose who shoots the free throws.
Okay, that's a good. That's and good. Like, wealth.
Well, if you don't want us hacking James Harden to send someone who's bad at free throws on their team to the line, sub him out.
Do you feel sorry? Did you see the video of LeBron's hair falling out in the game?
I didn't understand that, because I saw it, and then when I watched it, I was like, I can't see his hair falling out.
It wasn't really falling out. I've kind of embellished it, but like it was just like looking really bad. And it must have fallen out. It didn't fall out like in video, but it just, you could see it looking like, I had a nightmare that night that all my hair was just going to fall out instantly. It was stressful.
I have that dream a lot.
Doesn't sound like a healthy sort of dream to have.
No. It's terrifying. Okay, what next?
Is it that time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out?
Yeah, are there any other really noteworthy... The Suns don't suck?
Oh, I don't know about that. It's too early to say, right? But good
so
start.
So far, they don't suck. But DeAndre Ayton failed a drug test after the first game.
Are you just Googling like NBA news now and finding out what happened?
Well, I'm not looking... The only thing that's open on my computer is the NBA standings. And I just looked down and saw the Suns at 2-2. But the Suns, DeAndre Ayton, they had a great win in their first game. So the NBA was like, something suspicious is going on here. And so they drug tested DeAndre Ayton and he failed. And he's looking to miss 25 games. Claimed it was an accident, but that's just...
He needs to say what it was. Like, I reckon... Okay,
it was a masking agent that makes you... Yeah. It's like to do with peeing.
Yeah, pissing. I just take that. I just take that even when I'm not trying to hide from drug tests, just because I really enjoy pissing. Sorry, man. I tried a joke there and didn't quite execute it. It may have been that he had weed in his system. Remember, don't they have another player? Is it Josh Jackson or someone is suspended for weed? So like maybe he was
looking at him. It definitely seems like it's PED.
He's like the most jacked.
Yeah, he's jacked as hell, and I don't know.
Yeah, good point. And I mean, this
he's
opens
got the puffy face.
This opens
he's
the
got
old
puffy face.
Can of worms that we always get into, which is are all the players on PEDs? And I mean, at least they're testing for masking agents and catching.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Someone, I mean, that's positive, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You only need one player to like come forward and go, I know I played a bench role on the 2008 Washington Wizards, and I can tell you that the players on that team were taking, you know, like there's so many people who go in and out of the NBA every year that there must be quite a few who know about PEDs.
Yeah. It's true.
Who knows? Not me.
OJ Mayo, if you're out there listening to this, speak up.
No, he got
Tell
done.
What you
he
know.
Got done for recreational drugs.
I know, but he's got like now he's got like a chance to avenge it and bring everyone down with him.
It is good to see the Suns doing all right, and who knows, maybe they'll be the Sacramento Kings of this year.
Well, it turns out Rubio is the you know, the Jazz now look way worse without him. Well, not way worse, but just like Mike Conley seems like a massive downgrade at this point.
Yeah.
Rubio, man.
There's a lot to be said for Rubio. He's not a good NBA player because he can't shoot from the perimeter, but he's a great distributor, set-up point guard, and he also plays good defense. Like, it's a pretty valuable player to have.
Yeah, big time. Love the guy.
His career was like the opposite of Dellavedova, where he was like a white point guard, but whereas Dellavedova had no expectations and somehow surpassed them, or easily surpassed them, Ricky Rubio had like the next John Stockton expectations. So when he couldn't live up to them, his kind of whole career, in my mind at least, and I guess in a lot of other people's minds, has been a disappointment. So RIP to Rubio, but good to see you're being appreciated now, finally.
Yeah.
Was he the MVP of the World Cup as well?
I don't know. I think he was.
Who was then? Or do they have that? Or do they have just like an all-star five? They might just have an all-star
five. Player of the tournament.
He was the standout player. If you try and Google it, you can. But if you don't, then I don't care. I feel like it's that time, right about that time, for the Stars to roll on out.
I used to be jealous of Mary to follow. You're taking every game personal? I'm not Alfred. Sit down.
Wow! That is pure magic. Pure magic. Pure magic. Yeah, you going to say something about Magic Mayhem?
Ricky Rubio was the player of the tournament.
Thank you.
So shout out to him. The Magic season has gotten off to, I'm going to say, a poor start. They're currently actually in the playoffs. They're in the eighth seed. And I know it's early days.
What, they've played 3-1-1?
Played 3-1-1, lost two, one of which they definitely should have won against the Hawks. I feel like they should beat the Hawks. But so far, the story has been they have been shooting horribly. And I know you're probably going to say they don't have any good shooters. I can already hear you thinking of saying
that. I wasn't thinking that, but now that you say it, that is quite a good point.
Here's the thing. Last year, they were basically in the middle for field goal percentage.
Yeah.
This year, they are the worst team so far through three games. The worst shooting percentage were 38%, which is like... usually the worst team in the league is about 42%. So like even like their Bobcats team from 2011, who were like the worst team ever, like they would have shot at least like 42%, 41%.
Yeah.
So they're shooting like historically bad. But the good news is they're still managing to stay in games and make them close despite just not being able to shoot at all. And I think they are getting good looks, but it's just so far there's like guys who are good shooters... Terrence Ross, Vucevic just like can't buy a basket. But the good news is they have stayed in games. Like they lost to the Hawks basically on a deep banked three by Trae Young that he like threw up and banked in somehow. And did you watch the Raptors Magic?
Yeah, I watched most of it. I switched it off because I was like, oh, the Raptors were just pulling way away, but they pulled themselves back into it.
They pulled themselves back in, went up, took the lead with about 4 minutes to go. And then, you know, you're going to say, this is a classic thing of me to say, but I felt like they did have a little bit of bad luck with some refereeing in the last 2 minutes. It was literally anyone's game, tied game. And Pascal Siakam got away with what was possibly an offensive foul where he pushed Jonathan Isaac over with his arm, which would have fouled him out of the game. It was a no call. It's like, surely it's a block or a charge.
Yeah.
Then basically Kyle Lowry, who is playing well for my fantasy team so far, he...
Do you have Kyle Lowry on your fantasy team?
Yeah, I've gone really point guard heavy. We should probably go into a quick fantasy forest.
You hate Kyle Lowry.
I hated him last year, but fantasy is just about numbers. I don't even look at the name. All I see is numbers.
When I was watching the game, I was like, because Kyle Lowry was doing a lot of bullshit and complaining to the refs a lot, and I was like, man, Paul is going to hate this so much. He did like
James... It makes it, it makes it less hateable when he's on your fantasy team.
You've been bought, man. Because he was doing that James Harden dick thing where you, where a guy puts his hand out to try and stop you, and you just, you know, you pull your arm into it and shoot a three.
So that was basically what happened at the end of the game. You know that call that last year they tried kind of getting rid of, where if you go around a screen on the 3-point line and then just
jump into the guy,
it's not a non-shooting foul.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened. As he was going around the screen, Fournier started fouling him, and then he jumped up and shot it, and I was like on the ground. He got three free throws, and that was like game over. Those three free throws just ended it, and it's like
I hate these rules, and I hate the way the players play to them and stuff like that. Harden, Chris Paul, Lowry. But at the same time, I do wish the defenders would get a bit smarter. I was just watching Chris Paul to people. It's like they put their hand there, and I understand why you do it, because you want to have you want to challenge the player so they think twice about dribbling or shooting. But the way Chris Paul just waits for you to put your hand there and then drags his arms through your arm and then throws the ball in the direction of the hoop is just so frustrating. It's like you do have to get to a level where, like, the Spurs used to, as a joke, guard Harden by keeping their hands behind their back. And it's like that's not a bad thought for certain players, because they do this so frequently that, there's got to be a slightly smarter element to the defense than just constantly falling for these old tricks, even though they are hard to avoid.
Big time. But anyway, the Magic, I'm still confident they're going to have a great year. The shooting's going to come right, and they're going to...
Well, the East is looking pretty poor, and the defense of the Magic is amazing. Like, they are just like... Every game is like a... They're going to be one of the worst teams to watch in terms of every game.
Disagree.
Is like a slogfest in the 80s.
Okay, Markel Fultz is like a... highlight machine with putback dunks. And
he is a little bit
passes.
Yeah,
highlight. He also did fall over and get his ankles broken at one stage by Fred VanVleet. So he also makes highlights in that way of being on the receiving end. But man, he's had some pretty good dunks so far.
His fringe makes him look so dumb. He's got him and Aaron Gordon. Their photos they've taken this year. It's like, come on, NBA social media people. Just go, let's take another photo, because you just look, they've got like these kind of like stone grins, and they've both got kind of like slightly saggy or squinty eyes, and his fringe, he just looks like the stupidest guy ever, and Gordon the same. And I know I hate Gordon every year, but man, I find Gordon to be the most hateable player in the NBA. It's like every year, like this year he's going to be an all-star, and then he's back to like having 0 points, and it's the third quarter of the game. It's just so frustrating the way a few of these players for the Magic, unfortunately, just never change. And when I say never change, I mean Gordon, Fournier, Vucevic.
Fournier's actually been great. Fournier was great against the Raptors. Like, we would have, I think it would have been a blowout if it wasn't for him.
Well, he can score, but it's just. You know, like any time you get your hopes up for him, he will break your heart. By next game, he'll have 12 points.
Okay, this is a segment about celebrating the Magic, and you've just come out and you've started insulting their faces.
No. I like
our award, a new award, and it's the Magic Player of the Week.
And this week, who wins it?
Goes to
Jonathan Isaac.
In the off season, I bought his jersey. A little guy called Jonathan Isaac, who had a career-high 24 points in his last game against the Raptors. Great defensive team. He also really defended Siakam well, like lowered him to like maybe 20 points or something rather than like 30-something. And he's top 5 in blocks and top 20 in steals. The guy is unbelievable, and I love him.
Yeah, definitely. There's a young core there at the Magic who are looking like they're improving, and even Bamba seems to be making slow steps in the right direction.
Yeah, he's gonna turn out okay. I'm sure of it.
Do you know what? It's time for a bit of Guy I've Been Thinking. Do you mind indulging me?
Yeah,
it's time for one of the most decadent indulgements you can do. Play the sting.
Guy I've been thinking. I've been thinking, and Guy, I've come up with something. I've been thinking.
Okay, so the way you build an NBA team, in my opinion, has changed. And previously, the idea was that you tank, you lose games, and you try and pick up a franchise-changing player, right? That's how you do it. You can also trade for a franchise-changing player, say James Harden at the Rockets, they traded for him. And then when you've got that player, then you slowly build a team around him. Now, I'm here to tell you that that is a bad plan. And the reason being is building the rest of the team is still so hard. Because the bar for these teams now, the teams that genuinely are championship contenders, aka the Warriors the last few years, the Raptors last year, the Clippers this year, the bar is so, so high for an elite team that drafting one good player and then building six or seven around him is like... is too difficult. And my example for this is Karl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves, a team that tanked, you know, and tried hard to get as many first round picks as they could, and they managed to get one player who, let's be honest, will probably leave in about 3 or 4 years when they don't do anything in the playoffs. Anthony Davis and the Pelicans, same situation. They have 5 years of this player on a rookie deal or whatever. They can't get any success, and he leaves for a better team. My next example is Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. And don't get me wrong, I think the Bucks are going to challenge for a championship this year and be one of the best teams in the East, but I don't think they're a realistic, you know, top four team. And unless they magically improve somehow, or he manages to learn how to shoot threes, in 3 or 4 years' time, he's going to want to leave too.
But, yeah, okay.
So the way to build a team now is actually the opposite. It's actually the thing the Magic are doing now, whether they want... The Magic, I don't think we're trying to do this, but they've done it by being bad for a lot of years and not being able to find a superstar, is you want to build a solid team, ideally defensively, but like a 3-and-D team of good players, and then the last piece you get is the superstar, the way Kawhi Leonard has been winning championships by moving from team to team, the way LeBron James did it by moving to the Heat, a team that just needed, you know, him to take them over the edge, and then while he did that, then the Cavs built themselves up with first round draft picks, and then he went back there to be the final piece they needed. So you become a team that has got a great platform but is not near the team. Like, the Raptors are that now. They haven't wanted to be that. Obviously, they're that because their star player left. But, like, just say a player like Kyrie Irving got desperate. I'm not saying we want him or anything like that. But say a superstar player, Karl Anthony Towns, got desperate at the trade deadline. If Karl Anthony Towns went to the Raptors and they didn't give up too much more, they would be immediately like a finals contender. Or Kyrie, you know, that's maybe not the best example, but that's kind of how these teams work now. You just create a solid foundation and then attract the superstar as the last piece.
Okay, so just to get this clear.
Yeah.
The way to build a championship team.
Yeah.
Is to make a good team.
Yes. But you're not building around a superstar. You're building a solid roster and then getting the superstar as the last piece in a crazy trade.
Yeah, I feel like this isn't really anything that new.
I call it nesting, and that is you build a nest for the superstar, the hawk, to fly into.
Yeah, because they're jumping. Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying this is like a new idea, because obviously this is what happened to the Raptors. They're like, we'll be good. And then when they saw a chance to trade DeRozan, who wasn't good enough for a better player, they did it. And now the Clippers have managed to do that as well.
Here's Paul, don't lie. Jumping on what you just said, do you think the Raptors could have won last year with DeRozan?
No. And the reason being is because...
The 76ers.
No. I thought you were going to say whether the Warriors were completely healthy or not. And I mean, it's a big what-if.
No. Like, the same injuries happen.
Yeah.
You couldn't foresee those happening.
Yeah, that's a really good question in terms of, like, say they had the same team but with DeRozan, and they managed to get Gasol and they're going for it, and then the Warriors had these freak injuries.
You've got to admit, Masai has to be counting his blessings a bit, that like the injuries did happen to the Warriors. Because say, imagine if the Warriors had won and you know, then he gave away, like, imagine there would have been hell to pay.
No, I don't think, I honestly don't think so. I know maybe I'm saying this with the benefit of foresight, but like, everyone at the Raptors agreed at the start of the year, when I say everyone, like I was talking to them, I mean like everyone who is a Raptors fan agreed at the start of the year that while they're gutted by this trade and a lot of people were angry DeRozan was gone, they're like, it's worth it just to have a shake. And as long, if they went on the first round, there would have been a lot of a back scratching, back, what's the expression I was looking for? Back scratch? No. There would have been a lot of like backstabbing, I guess. I don't know what I was going for there. But like, because they beat, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and were in with a chance, like people were happy at that point. And the fact they won that amazing game against the 76ers, one of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen in my life, with the last minute shot from Kawhi, made it even more valuable. And the fact they won was all gravy. But just to make it to the finals, which, let's be honest, when it started, no one expected they were going to, you know, they were still the underdogs. No one was calling Raptors really.
I'm surprised there's gonna be more backlash at Danny Green for leaving. Because like, is he even from LA? Like Kawhi, it was always like, oh, he just always wanted to go home. He was always going home.
Yeah.
Danny Green seemed to just like slip under the radar.
No, winning cures everything. And these players were traded for. They didn't want to go to Toronto, and they did amazingly well. Also, Danny Green was real bad in the. He was great in the playoffs, but real bad in the finals. And I think so, if I remember correctly. And so as a result, like you don't go, oh, that was a key player, even though he was a real key player, just not in the last games that you remember him playing.
One of the highlights that I didn't really see get shared in the Raptors Magic game the other night was OG Anunoby, whose big things are expected of him this year, like filling the gap.
Yeah,
he got quite a few steals, and one of them he got a steal, had a breakaway dunk, and he tried to do what can only be described as a reverse double pump reverse where he, so it's like a double reverse, because he's backwards and he's double pumping, but then it's also a reverse dunk in the sense that he tried to dunk the ball upwards through the bottom of the hoop and out the top. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, and will no doubt be like a Shaqt in the Fool nominee.
Oh, yeah, you got to upload that. I did not see that. And so what, he tried to do a reverse pump jam, well, but accidentally put it through the bottom of the hoop instead of the top.
Yeah, kind of. Aminu did try and sprint back and block him. So Aminu was kind of there trying to block him, but it definitely looked like he was, regardless of the block attempt, he was going to dunk it into the bottom of the net anyway. It was hilarious. Bizarre. And afterwards, they were like, his teammates were kind of like, what are you up to? And he was just looked kind of confused and quite shook by the whole thing.
I am going to go back and look for that now. I think that should be our time. You're going to go off to see a movie?
Yeah, I'm off to the movies.
Any final things to say or words of encouragement for the listeners out there?
I'm trying to think if I'm going to an NBA game tomorrow.
Who are you going to see?
I'm going to see the Brooklyn Nets take on the Indiana Pacers, who I'm really hoping start turning things around to prove my prediction of them being the next team to take the leap prediction.
How you missed a great game at the Garden yesterday. Bulls versus Knicks turned into an absolute stunner.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to go to many Knicks games just because their tickets are way more expensive than Nets.
But it was the first time in like 5 years there's been like, as far as I know, a hyped atmosphere at the Garden. It was actually really cool to see. And they also very sadly booed Dennis Smith Jr., which was sad because he seems like a broken man.
And his family member died. So pretty messed up. But quickly, before the game tomorrow, we'll just touch on Kyrie Irving. Supposedly there's already rumors that he's toxic in Brooklyn. Have you read about that?
Yeah, he's so good though that I'm like, they'll just work around him, I reckon. Like, it's like LeBron has rumors that he's a bad guy to play with as well, or that like, no. Actually, sorry, not that he's bad to play with, but you know, there's always rumors that when things are going bad, that he is really awful and, you know, changing his team and firing his coach and stuff like that. I'm like, if Kyrie Irving is playing at the level he's playing at, I reckon they'll just put up with
it. They're 1-2.
Oh yeah, but you got to remember they're not expected to do much in the East, which is again pretty easy. Like they're pretty much guaranteed to make the playoffs, and he's going to average 35 points a game. So like I wouldn't react too. I don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to more stories about Kyrie being a nutcase come back. But like, yeah, he's a difficult and a bit of a dick. But like, I think they'll just put up with it for now.
Yeah.
If he stops producing though, he's doomed.
No, I think it's just wins and losses because you can't just look at points totals because he's definitely going to score 30 a game, but it's about wins.
He's very good.
That's the only stat that matters.
Oh, who did you predict for Rookie of the Year? Did I predict Ja Morant? Because that's a prediction that I could be proud of. Holy shit, he's had a good start to the season. I know he's on one of the worst teams. Maybe. I'm pretty sure I predicted Ja Morant.
Right. I think I predicted Zion, but I mean, he hasn't played, so... But,
I predicted he's not going to play a game in the season, and I stand by that.
A prediction of mine that has gone well is with one of my last picks in fantasy, I spent $3 on a guy called PJ Washington, the rookie for the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Because on my rookie ranking system I tried devising, he came out looking good. And, well, he was near the top, and I knew that he'd have plenty of opportunity in Charlotte because, like, they've got no players.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he's looked pretty awesome. So well, that's a good rookie prediction, I mean.
Shout out to PJ Washington, and shout out to anyone who wants to pick him up in their fantasy league. That's all for Advanced Analytics for this week. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.